Does it require a different mindset than the one under which you have been operating until now? Absolutely. We won't lie to you. In addition to knowledge, in order to permanently maintain a healthy weight, you also definitely need a dose of determination. You will probably be able to eat many foods you may have thought were off limits, but it is crucial to understand that you still need to control your carbohydrate intake, especially if high glycemic foods that could play havoc with your blood sugar. By moderating your intake of high glycemic foods, you keep cravings under control. If you've experienced the weight loss phases of Atkins, your cravings for sweets and starchy foods should have diminished somewhat, but adding new foods can provoke them anew. However, if you proceed carefully and mindfully, you can remain comfortably in the driver's seat. With time and practice, it does get easier. When you've reached your goal weight and found your ace, you've arrived officially at lifetime maintenance. Far from a lifetime sentence of limited food choices and preoccupation with the scale, this phase can be a life-expanding opportunity, one in which you get to savor delicious foods, all the while keeping your weight under control and optimizing your health. Over and over again, we hear from Atkins followers who have dramatically changed or even saved their lives by losing weight the controlled carb way. Not only do they feel better about themselves, they often embark on new careers, enter new relationships, find new athletic pursuits, and experience myriad other life changes. Take Barton Landfair, for example. She was once a size 5 bodybuilder, but more recently Barton had abused alcohol and drugs. Although she had been able to kick drugs, in 1999 she was still drinking a bottle of tequila a day. She had also abandoned her weightlifting regimen. At 36, Barton weighed more than 200 pounds and wore a size 18. "I had no energy to pursue my work as an artist or even to take care of myself," she recalls. "All I wanted to do was watch TV." She began to turn her life around in April of that year when she started doing Atkins. "I stopped drinking that day," she says. "Limiting my carbohydrates seemed to take away my craving for alcohol." It took Barton about a year and a half to reach her goal weight of 135. She is 5'7". "When I started doing Atkins, I also rediscovered exercise," she says. She became interested in the body-shaping benefits of yoga, which she now practices daily, in addition to light weight training and working out on a step machine. "As I've gotten leaner, my whole outlook has improved and I'm more successful," she says. "I plan to have a solo show of my art in about a year. I've been absolutely sober, and other than vitamins, I don't take any pills. I've surprised a lot of people who didn't think I had it in me to change. But I was determined to succeed right from the start, and today I can say with confidence that I've turned my life around." One of the beauties of doing Atkins is that you can individualize it to fit your food preferences and lifestyle. Do you like to eat 6 small meals each day? No problem. Do you travel a lot and find yourself often eating in restaurants? You can easily navigate menus without increasing your waistline. Do you make meals for a horde of hungry teens who aren't interested in sharing your way of eating? The lifetime maintenance phase is so flexible that most people won't even notice you are on a special program. Whatever your lifestyle, you can adapt Atkins to your needs. Your ace may be 60 grams of net carbs, and your spouse's might be 100. The magic number can vary quite a bit from person to person, but it usually ranges between these two extremes. Some people, usually young, active, and male, can go as high as 150. But if you have a history of obesity and yo-yo dieting, it is unlikely that you will ever be able to get your ace much above 60. If you're new to Atkins, you probably haven't the foggiest idea of what your ace is. Relax. It isn't that hard to figure out, although it may take you a few weeks to zero in on your individual threshold for carb consumption. If you need to trim some pounds, start with 60 grams of net carbs a day. If you start to trim down at this level, gradually increase your intake in 5-gram increments so long as weight loss continues. When you reach your goal weight and maintain it for at least a month at a consistent level of carb intake, you are at your ace. However, if you don't start losing after a week at 60 grams a day, drop down to 50 grams and see if that gets your fat-burning engine in gear. Again, if you have more than a few pounds to lose, however, you should begin with the induction phase. To maintain weight, start with 60 grams of net carbs a day. If you maintain your weight for several days, try going to 70 grams. Keep inching up slowly so long as you do not gain weight. If you do put on a few pounds, back off 5 or 10 grams and you should have found your race. On the other hand, if you initially gain weight after a few days at 60 grams a day, cut back to 50 and see if you can maintain at that level. Continue to play with the number of carb grams until you are neither losing nor gaining. At that point, you have found your ace. To help you select foods that will provide a wide array of nutrients, including fiber, without compromising your weight, we suggest you adhere to the following guidelines. First, at the risk of stating the obvious, continue to count your grams of net carbs. Secondly, keep an eye on your intake by becoming familiar with the 7 rungs of the carb ladder you heard about earlier. Ideally, each meal should include adequate protein and healthy fats, plus some carbs. Over the course of the day, your carb intake should include 4 to 5 servings of vegetables. Remember that a serving is typically 1/2 cup of cooked vegetables or a cup of raw ones. 1 to 2 servings of fruit. 1/2 a medium apple is 1 serving, as are 2 fresh apricots. 3 servings of dairy. For example, 1 ounce of cheese, 1 cup of whole milk yogurt, and 1/2 cup of cottage cheese. 2 to 4 ounces of nuts or seeds. Depending upon your race, you may well be able to eat whole grains and legumes at least once a day. Individuals with higher aces may also choose to eat more fruit, if they can do so without finding that it elevates their blood sugar. As long as you add new carbohydrate foods one at a time, you will find how varied your diet can be. You never need to go hungry on Atkins, nor should you ever go beyond the point of satisfying your hunger. This is a polite way of saying don't stuff yourself. If your past eating patterns included lots of overeating and binges, you may carry this pattern over when you're doing Atkins, just with different foods. How can you break the pattern? The first step is learning to distinguish real hunger from the simple desire to eat. This isn't always easy. You may eat to cheer yourself up, reward yourself, calm yourself, or just to cope with boredom or dissatisfaction. Be mindful of how your mood affects your food choices. You'll probably find that with greater awareness, you'll eat less or even eliminate this non-productive behavior. Sometimes you might still feel hungry even though you've eaten a hearty meal. The problem here is that your brain hasn't caught up with your stomach. Try this tactic. Once you've finished your basic meal, wait about 20 minutes. If you still feel hungry, have another portion of the protein part of your meal or an Atkins-friendly dessert such as berries with whipped cream. But more likely, in that short time, your blood sugar will rise slowly and your hunger will diminish. The next important step to avoid overeating is to get a firm grasp on portion size. In order to keep track of your carbs, you need to have a sense of a standard serving of each food. It's all too easy to underestimate the size of the portion in front of you, which means you end up eating more carbs than you realize. Many people who have had a weight problem have simply been eating too much food for so long that they assume gargantuan portions are the norm. There's another important step for breaking out of past eating patterns. No more junk food. It's not easy to break the junk food habit, but you can do it. If you have lost weight doing Atkins, you probably followed our advice to get rid of whatever junk food was in your home. If you are new to Atkins, it is quite simple. Get rid of anything that has sugar or white flour. If it's not there, you can't eat it. Now that you're doing Atkins for life, there is less reason than ever to have junk foods around. In lifetime maintenance, you have to accept that you're giving these foods up forever, not just until you achieve your goal weight. That's because as surely as night follows day, if you resume eating junk food, you will again become addicted, and your weight problem will be deja vu all over again, to paraphrase Yogi Berra. And that's not even mentioning all the ingredients in junk foods which can imperil your health. If your kids complain, use the opportunity to teach them better eating habits by giving them a good snack, such as nuts, a chunk of cheese, or a piece of fresh fruit. Junk food isn't any better for them than it is for you. The next time you feel hungry between meals, stop and think about when you last had something to drink. If it's been more than a couple of hours, your hunger might actually be thirst. Instead of eating, drink some filtered or bottled water. If you want something fizzy, try sparkling water with a slice of lemon or a diet soda sweetened with Splenda. Or make your own sodas using sugar-free flavored syrups. Sugar-free iced tea and lemonade are also good choices. Fruit juices are relatively high in natural sugar and even added sugars, and they don't have any fiber to slow their absorption, so have them rarely and in small portions. If you prefer a hot drink, go for decaffeinated coffee or tea. Lighten your coffee or tea with cream and sweeten it with your favorite sugar substitute. Excess caffeine may cause a drop in your blood sugar, which could result in cravings for sweets. Caffeine is found not just in coffee and tea, but also in cola and even some herbal teas. If you find that caffeinated beverages deplete you of energy, make you feel shaky, or send you on a search-and-devour mission for donuts, switch over to decaffeinated versions. Terry Free bet a friend that he could lose weight in just 2 weeks by doing Atkins. He did, and then some. A year later, and almost 80 pounds lighter, he's the big winner.
Being overweight had been a problem for me since I was 9 or 10 years old. I had fallen into a pattern of eating to excess, especially when I was bored or unhappy. By the time I was in junior high, the kids had begun to call me Fat Albert because I looked like the Bill Cosby TV character. I'm 30 years old now, and over the years I've tried several diets. I lost 60 pounds on one program, but was hungry all the time. I just couldn't stick to it, and eventually gained all the weight back, and more. Before I learned about Atkins, I'd eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, just like a kid. It wasn't uncommon for me to eat a large pizza with 2 cans of soda, followed by a pint of ice cream for dinner. I could even down an entire gallon of milk in a day. I ate out a lot, and buffets were really big with me. In February of 2002, 2 friends told me they had started doing Atkins. I'd never heard of it, but they were losing weight, so I thought I'd give it a try. I asked another friend, who only needed to lose 10 pounds, to try Atkins with me for 2 weeks. "Let's show these other 2 guys up," I said. He agreed, so I went to the Atkins website and bought a copy of Dr. Atkins' New Diet Revolution. At the end of the 2-week induction phase, I had lost 12 pounds, and my friend had reached his 10-pound weight loss goal. "Hey, giving up bread is a little hard, but not as bad as I thought," I said to myself. So I decided to keep going and began to set reasonable, short-term goals for myself. The next step for me, I called 30 by 30, to lose a total of 30 pounds by my 30th birthday, or about 18 pounds in the next 6 weeks. I was ecstatic when I made my goal on the exact day, April 7th. Then I decided to set my next goal. I knew I would be seeing my entire family at my cousin's graduation, approximately 1 month after my birthday. I decided to try to lose 12 more pounds, again about 3 pounds per week. When the graduation day arrived, my relatives came to pick me up at my apartment. When I opened the door, my mother's mouth fell open, and she almost started to cry. By then, I had lost 45 pounds, 3 more than I had even intended. By this time, a day didn't go by that someone didn't ask me how I'd lost the weight. I had become a phenomenon. It was such a hoot and a holler when people didn't even recognize me. I didn't want to buy any new clothes until I reached my final goal weight of less than 200 pounds. I had to lose 25 more pounds and thought it would take me about 8 more weeks by about the 4th of July. On July 1st, I hit 199 pounds. I made a banner, brought it to work, and hung it over my desk. All it read was 199. People kept asking me what it meant, and when I told them, they just couldn't believe my accomplishment. Now, several co-workers are doing Atkins, too, and I'm sort of a coach for them. I've lost another 7 pounds for a total of 77 pounds lost. I'm 5 feet 10 inches and weigh 193 pounds, a weight I can really live with. The whole time I was on the weight loss phases of Atkins, I exercised, though not strenuously. I walked 2 miles to work 5 days a week, and at least 2 days a week I also walked home. Once a week I went rollerblading. I'm never tired, and 6 hours of sleep is plenty. As I maintain my weight, I don't even think about being on a diet anymore. I'm cooking for one, so grocery shopping is easy. I know which aisles to go down and which to avoid. I grab hard-boiled eggs or string cheese for breakfast. At work, during lunch, I might have a turkey wrap with mozzarella cheese or a taco salad with all the seasoning, but no chips. For dinner, I might fix low-carb pasta with packaged Alfredo sauce and bacon bits, skillet brown chicken, and sugar-free gelatin for dessert. I try to have a salad once a day for lunch or dinner. Being able to wear regular-sized clothes is the best part of shedding pounds, so when I reached my goal weight, I splurged and went shopping. They just don't make cool clothes in those big sizes. My waist measurement has dropped from 44 or 46 inches to 32 or 33 inches. I went from triple XL shirts to just a large. I've always been a pretty happy-go-lucky guy, but now I am more genuinely so. I don't get depressed, wondering if people are thinking, gee, that guy is fat. I just can't count all the benefits. I feel 2,000,000% better in every way. My ace is 45, age 30, height 5 feet 10 inches, weight before 270 pounds, weight after 193 pounds, weight lost 77 pounds, total cholesterol before 215, total cholesterol after 175. Started doing Atkins February 2002.
Here are Terry's tips for success. Don't weigh in more than twice weekly. Be sure to drink 8 glasses of water per day. Talk about your success. You'll not only continue to pump yourself up, but will feel good about sharing what you've learned. Exercise is a powerful ally in the battle for weight control. If you're not exercising regularly, in addition to controlling your carbs, you're shortchanging yourself in several important ways. Regular ongoing exercise can significantly improve your cardiovascular risks, your energy level, and your productivity. A frequent result of losing weight is an increased interest in exercise. In fact, many Atkins followers who were once classic couch potatoes morph into exercise nuts. Others, like George Osmond, resume routines they had abandoned when they piled on the pounds. George had always worked out regularly and once was in perfect shape, allowing him to carry 178 pounds well on his 5 feet 10 inch frame. But after he and his wife separated in 1996, he says, "I went into a frenzy of partying. I was always eating and drinking, and I stopped working out." George's hobby had been professional motorcycle racing. "The rider needs to be almost as weight conscious as a jockey," he explains. "The smaller guy has the advantage." By 2000, George had ballooned up to 275 pounds. One day he revisited the track, he was no longer able to race, and met an old friend he hadn't seen in 2 years, who had lost 130 pounds doing Atkins. George proceeded to lose 84 pounds doing Atkins, and is now working out again to help build the stamina he needs for motorcycle racing. "Now that I'm back in full gear, I run and bicycle up to 5 kilometers a day at the gym," he says. The beautiful thing about exercise is that not only does it help build muscles and enhance your cardiovascular fitness, it works for you in 3 additional ways. The more physically active you are, the more carbohydrates you can consume without gaining weight. The more muscle you have relative to fat, the more calories your body burns naturally. Your body is less sensitive to the fat-storing effects of insulin directly after aerobic exercise, meaning that you may be able to tolerate a greater amount of carbohydrate intake in the 60 to 90 minutes following an exercise session. So you may find that exercising and then eating a bit more carbs than you usually do may allow you to raise your ACE somewhat. Exercise also has a multitude of intrinsic health benefits that could save your life. One study, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, tracked 73,000 postmenopausal women for an average of 3 years. The researchers found that women who either walked briskly or exercised vigorously at least 2.5 hours per week had a 30% lower risk of cardiovascular problems than the least active women. Another study, which came out of the well-known Honolulu Heart Program, looked at 2,600 men over the age of 70 and found that the risk of heart disease decreased by 15% for every half mile walked each day. These are powerful reasons to get out there and move. The National Academy of Sciences, in their 2002 recommendations on physical activity, advised at least 1 hour a day of moderately intense exercise. That's a tall order, of course. The good news is that every little bit counts, and something is better than nothing. No matter who you are, there are ways to fit in some exercise. Even someone with severe mobility problems can do chair exercises or water aerobics. If you have been overweight in the past, you may have found exercise taxing on your cardiovascular system and your bones and joints. You will likely find it much more enjoyable now. Slimming down is a great cure for aching joints and sore feet. And finally, work by leading sports psychologists has demonstrated that adopting a routine of cardiovascular training results in improved productivity in business. So much for the excuse that you're too busy to get in shape. Remember that it is a good idea to consult with your physician before beginning any exercise program. If you have any pre-existing cardiovascular disease or have been leading a very sedentary lifestyle, a thorough consultation with a cardiologist is imperative. A few other caveats. Your energy may fluctuate significantly if you eat carbohydrates immediately prior to exercise, so you are better off exercising on an empty stomach than eating a quick snack before working out. Even more important than not eating an hour before exercise is rehydrating yourself as you work out. Drink up even if you're not thirsty or sweating. Aside from its other detrimental effects on the body, dehydration causes more lactic acid buildup and more soreness in the muscles. Also, be sure to get enough calcium, magnesium, and potassium so that sweating does not deplete you of electrolytes. If you haven't exercised in a while or have experienced injuries or knee problems, you'll likely hear one common piece of exercise advice. Start walking. What's so wonderful about walking? Well, to start with, it's natural, functional movement that puts minimal stress on your joints. You can do it just about anywhere, and no special equipment is required. And although it's no substitute for weight training, walking is also a load-bearing exercise that is good for your bones. If walking has so much to offer, you might ask, why do anything else? First of all, when you exercise by walking, your body gets very efficient at it. This means that even if you increase your distance, speed, or both, you aren't going to be getting as much bang for your exercise buck as you did when you started. Secondly, while it's certainly possible to get your heart rate up by walking, many people just stroll, figuring that a slow 45-minute walk is the equivalent of a vigorous 25-minute jog. Wrong. Your heart, like any other muscle, has to be pushed in order to grow stronger. It's time to try something new. Even if you're enjoying your current walking program, mix in other modes of exercise to keep your walking from getting stale. You'll get more results for your effort. Try bicycling. You can easily get your heart rate up without pounding your joints. The recumbent bike is easier on your back and bottom than a standard model. Start running. This is not for everyone, and if you have knee problems or other skeletal injuries, it's definitely not for you. Still, for many people, it's a logical and thrilling progression from walking. If you can walk 45 minutes quickly, without rest, you're probably ready to pick up the pace. If you have arthritis, knee pain, or still have a lot of weight to lose, swimming is ideal. The water supports your body, giving you the freedom to move in an impact-free environment. Try water aerobics classes for even more variety. At your local Y or health club, you will find elliptical trainers, stair climbers, and rowing machines, as well as a variety of classes. Jazz dance, world beat, kickboxing, take whatever appeals to you, but remember, just because you're in a group doesn't mean you have to keep pace. Do what's right for you. Also, be sure to have a trainer show you how to use exercise equipment properly so you do not hurt yourself. Most people are familiar with aerobic activities, but weight training may seem intimidating if you have not done it before. Like any new exercise program, begin weight training slowly and move up gradually, or you may become discouraged, sore, or even hurt yourself. Begin by lifting weights twice a week for the first 2 weeks, then advance to 3 times a week. Try to space the days so that your body has a chance to recover before enduring more weight training. Feel free to do aerobic exercises on both weight training and recovery days. To make weight training more challenging, you can add weight to heighten muscle strength and size, increase the number of repetitions to improve muscular endurance, and shorten the rest intervals between sets to enhance calorie burning. Combine these different variables to work towards specific fitness goals. Women need not worry that weight training will make their muscles bulge. Instead, it will give attractive definition to the body. To enhance your level of fitness, you will probably need to do 4 to 6 aerobic workouts per week. Beginners should start with 20 to 30 minutes of exercise and build up to as much as 60 minutes as they become increasingly fit. Don't make the common mistake of confusing output with effort. The fact that you ran 3 miles in 45 minutes says nothing about whether or not that was a tough workout. So what does? To know if you're working at the right level of intensity, you need to know how hard your heart is working. You can either take your pulse or use a heart rate monitor. Regardless of which method you use, your first objective is to ascertain your maximum heart rate and the various markers to aim for. Maximum HR is a number that can be roughly predicted and is related to age but not to fitness level. You can calculate yours by using this simple formula. 220 minus your age equals your max HR. According to this formula, a 40-year-old's maximum heart rate is 180. However, individual heart rates vary, and your own maximum heart rate may be as much as 15 points higher or lower. In addition to the other reasons for taking an exercise stress test, this type of examination allows even greater personalization of heart rate training zones. If you're just starting to exercise, start by working out at 65% of your maximum heart rate, that is, your max HR multiplied by 0.65. Once you are comfortable exercising at that intensity for 20 minutes a day, 4 days a week for 2 consecutive weeks, you'll be able to progress to the next level, true aerobic training. For most non-athletes, 70 to 80% maximum heart rate is an appropriate aerobic training zone. To determine your target heart rate, simply multiply your max HR by 0.7 or 0.8. To fine-tune your efforts or monitor your exertion without checking your pulse, pay attention to how your body feels. Are you feeling a little out of breath? You should be huffing a little, but not gasping for air. Can you talk? You should be able to speak in short sentences, but not hold long conversations. Are you working hard? You should feel as though you're pushing yourself, but not as though you're about to keel over. Remember that exercise isn't just about jogging or going to a gym. It's also about being active and mobile all the time, whether playing baseball with your kids or running up and down the cellar stairs to do the laundry. Here are 10 tricks for working in workouts. 1. Walk to work. If you have a shower at work, you might even be able to run or ride your bike. 2. Work out at lunchtime. A midday exercise break helps boost energy and can make you more productive in the afternoon. 3. Exercise in front of the television. 4. Exercise with friends or co-workers. 5. Get up early. Early morning exercise sessions can become found hours. 6. Little things add up. Take the stairs. Get off the bus a stop or two early and walk the rest of the way. 7. Schedule exercise time just as you would a haircut, dentist appointment, or lunch with a friend. 8. Make a date. If you commit to meeting someone for a workout, you have to show up. 9. To avoid boredom, switch off with different fitness programs. 10. Engage in family activities like bike rides, canoe trips, and hikes. Introducing your children to the pleasures of being active is a lifelong gift. Once you fully understand the importance of exercise and that it is the natural complement to the controlled carb way of eating, and tailor a combination of activities that you enjoy and can be fit into your schedule, you have taken a giant step toward enhanced health and weight control. Carrie Feather experienced both personal and athletic victories and met her future husband when she changed her lifestyle.
These days, when I go to day-long volleyball tournaments, people are always teasing me about the food I bring. On a good day, you can be there from 8:30 in the morning until 8 at night, and everyone is carb-loading like crazy. The other players all bring bagels and oranges, and I'm sitting there with my pieces of grilled chicken, slices of ham and turkey, and lots of Atkins bars. I also bring salad and strawberries. By the end of the day, they're exhausted, and I still have the energy I had at 8:30 a.m. That energy is the real Atkins advantage, and it's what gave me the strength to get serious about exercise again. I'd always been athletic. I played volleyball in college and continued to play in a local league, even when I was at my all-time heaviest weight of 180 pounds. That was a really difficult period in my life. I was at the end of a bad marriage and very depressed, so I was eating up a storm. I kept steadily getting bigger, buying new clothes when the old ones didn't fit, until one day I realized that I'd gotten up to a size 16. Not only was I miserable, but also my blood pressure was high enough that my doctor put me on medication. I chalked the hypertension up to family history, but my doctor said that my weight was probably to blame. So I went on a low-fat diet, eating a muffin for breakfast, low-fat yogurt for lunch, and pasta for dinner every single day. I bought some Taibo exercise tapes and worked out until I was sweating like a pig, but I never lost a pound, and I was always starving. Although I was skeptical of Atkins, my mother had lost 10 pounds on it, so I figured I'd try it, and when it failed, I'd join Weight Watchers. I did get my doctor's blessing to try Atkins, and I read Dr. Atkins' New Diet Revolution before starting induction in January 2000. The weight came off so fast that 5 months later I had taken off 60 pounds and reached my goal weight of 120. My blood pressure had come down, and I was able to go off the medication. Now that excess weight wasn't slowing me down, I started to get my volleyball game back. I also began dating the man who became my new husband. Atkins isn't a crash diet, it's a way of life. I'm in the best shape of my life, and my blood pressure and cholesterol levels are perfect. And I've been doing Atkins for 3 years. Anyone who tries to make you feel bad just doesn't understand or is jealous of your success. My ace is 50. Age, 27. Height, 5 feet 4 inches. Weight before, 180 pounds. Weight after, 120 pounds. Weight lost, 60 pounds. Blood pressure before, 140 over 95. Blood pressure after, 110 over 70. Total cholesterol after, 186. HDL after, 89. LDL after, 87. Triglycerides after, 52. Started doing Atkins, January 2000.
Here are Carrie's tips for success. Don't skip meals. Avoid low-carb bars with fructose in them. These hidden sugars will set you back. Long-term success doing Atkins depends upon confronting your personal temptations and figuring out how to stand up to them. Think of yourself as a general planning a military campaign. In this case, the enemy is food that you know you shouldn't eat, but that still exerts a powerful hold over you. A smart general knows his own strengths and weaknesses and respects his enemy. Learn to change what you can, your response to food, and accept that there are other things you cannot change, the power your food has over you. During the induction phase of Atkins, the physiological gift of lipolysis ketosis suppresses hunger. If you've done induction, you'll probably remember the feeling of no longer being a slave to your appetite. That's a wonderful side effect of burning body fat for energy. But induction is just a stepping stone, and when the slimmer and more energetic you graduates from that phase, and you begin eating progressively more carbohydrates, you have to give up that ever-present appetite suppressant as your body burns both fat and carbs for energy. The way to keep such cravings under control is to stay at or below your ACE. This level of carb consumption allows you to burn both carbs and fat for energy, meaning that you are less likely to experience the ups and downs of blood sugar fluctuations that can cause carb cravings. But quite possibly, you will still need to strengthen your self-control. That means developing strategies for dealing with the occasional hunger pangs or cravings. Listen to a few ways to handle those situations. Space out your carbs throughout the day. If you have a big carb blowout at lunch, you may feel the effects of the resulting blood sugar spike, that is, a dip in energy later in the day that leaves you lusting after something sweet. So instead of a regular sandwich, opt for an open-faced one. Make sure your salad has a good-sized protein component and a tasty oil-based dressing. Eat some protein and/or fat with every meal or snack to slow down the release of glucose into your bloodstream. Don't go more than 4 to 6 waking hours without a meal or a snack. Although our culture revolves around 3 square meals a day, many people prefer to eat more, smaller meals. This way of eating is healthy because it helps keep your blood sugar on an even keel. The best way to keep a craving from becoming a monster binge is to give in to it with a low-carb snack. Snacking keeps your metabolism working most efficiently, burning calories for energy instead of going into starvation mode when it slows down and hoards energy. Drinking water helps fill you up. Many people find that they eat less when they have a glass of water before a meal. A cup of hot broth has the same effect. As always, drink at least 8 8-ounce glasses of water every day. One of the misconceptions about Atkins is that it means never eating bread, pasta, or other higher carbohydrate foods again. Once you're doing Atkins for life, this simply isn't true. You can eat these foods, but always in moderation. If bread has been your undoing in the past, learn about the different kinds. All breads are most definitely not created equal. How do you find bread that's relatively low in net carbs? Or a cracker that's free of trans fats? You're not likely to find healthy choices in the bread or cracker aisle of your supermarket. Bakeries may offer specialty breads like seeded corn rye or seven-grain sourdough. Natural food stores may stock loaves made with soy or sprouted grains, also called live grains. Your objective is to find bread with a high, unrefined, 100% whole grain and high fiber content. All these add up to fewer grams of net carbs and a lower AGR. Here's how to proceed. First, compare the ingredient lists on a standard loaf and on specialty bread. Most bread contains a small amount of sugar, some of which occurs naturally in grains, but many also have added sweeteners. Sometimes only a teaspoon is added to proof the yeast, but larger amounts are often used to yield a deeper color or crisper crust. Avoid products with a lot of sugar. Then, compare the serving size on the Nutrition Facts panel. Bread typically supplies 13 to 17 grams of carbs per ounce. White bread might have less than 1 gram of fiber per serving. Whole grain breads often have at least 3, which means fewer net carbs. You may see some of the following terms on bread labels. Organic means that the grains were produced without pesticides or chemical fertilizers. Seeded means that whole seeds or grains are added. Stone ground means the flour is crushed between rotating stone disks, rather than high-speed rollers that generate high temperatures, meaning more nutrients are preserved. Unrefined is flour that is minimally processed and thus still has most, if not all, of the nutrients found in the germ as well as the fiber. How about crackers? Most crackers are made with vegetable shortening, enriched white flour, and added sweeteners. The result? High carbs, low fiber, and killer fats. Look for crackers made without hydrogenated oils in natural food stores or the health food sections of supermarkets. If you're looking for crunch, flatbreads are another alternative. Their high fiber content keeps their net carbs under 10 grams per serving, and some can be as low as 4. If you don't see them near the crackers, look in the bread aisle. Here are some more tips on understanding bread and cracker labels, which generally apply to rolls and bagels as well. When the label says white, no whole grains are used. The bread is usually very low in fiber and high in grams of net carbs. Enriched wheat is white flour with riboflavin, niacin, thiamin, and iron added. By law, these nutrients must be added to any flour that has the wheat germ removed. High in grams of net carbs. The word wheat on a label is meaningless. Wheat breads typically contain little or no whole wheat flour. Their darker color comes from caramel or molasses. Net carbs are high. Whole wheat breads may be slightly higher in fiber and nutrients, but net carbs are still high. 100% whole wheat is better. Only whole wheat flour is used, and grams of net carbs are medium. Whole grain breads are made with oats, barley, rye, or other grains. Check labels to ensure these grains are added to whole wheat flour, not enriched white flour. Grams of net carbs are medium. Rye bread may have more wheat than rye. Bread made with only rye flour would be very dense. Depending on the proportions of flours, rye bread may be comparatively low in grams of net carbs. Sprouted grains, such as wheat berries or soy, are soaked until they sprout. The water is drained and the sprouts are ground. Sprouted breads can be lower in grams of net carbs than other breads. Sourdough bread is leavened with a starter of fermented dough. Look for those made with rye or whole wheat flour for a medium level of grams of net carbs. Protein bread is often made with soy flour or high-protein grains that can have up to 8 grams of protein per slice. Net carb content can range from 5 to 9 grams per slice. Low-carb or reduced-carb bread is made with soy and low-carb starches. It may contain as few as 3 grams of net carbs per slice and has a high fiber content. Whether your favorite foods are mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, tortilla chips, pizza, or ice cream, once you're doing Atkins for life, you don't necessarily need to abandon them forever. Jeff Gray, a 37-year-old information technology executive, keeps a close eye on his carb intake during the week so that on weekends he can eat popcorn or ice cream with his kids. Aerobics instructor Adrienne Chavers, who lost 36 pounds doing Atkins, can satisfy her taste buds with small portions of favorite foods. "I might have 2 spoonfuls of cherry cheesecake for dessert," she says. "It is just enough." Fearing that he would die as his father had at an early age, 35-year-old James Winterscheid lost a whopping 122 pounds in 1998. His 3 children were prime motivators for him. Speaking of how the family went out for ice cream to celebrate his older son's birthday, James says, "No, I didn't indulge, and I didn't feel deprived. I felt alive." Other people, such as Bob Keown, are able to indulge themselves in something, cut back on carbs for a few subsequent days, and stay on track. Bob has been on lifetime maintenance since January 2000. "I monitor my carbohydrate intake a little less rigorously now," he says, "but if I've done something to push my carb limit, I'll back off for a week." The important thing is to create a decisive and workable plan so that you and not that appealing food are controlling the situation. That way you remain in charge of your hunger and cravings and of your weight and health. Otherwise, you'll find yourself having to make a decision every time you are confronted with these favorite foods. For those of us who need to limit our favorite foods to only very special occasions, substitution is the way to go. By having stand-ins always available, you can fall back on them when food you know you shouldn't eat beckons. Instead of regular ice cream, try low-carb ice cream or berries in heavy cream. Instead of salty chips, pop a few macadamia nuts. If you're dying for mashed potatoes, try mashed cauliflower with cream and butter. If you're craving pasta, check out pasta made from soy flour, which has only about 5 grams net carbs in a half cup of cooked pasta, compared to about 19 grams for a comparable serving of the regular semolina type. There are also plenty of lower-carb substitutes for other popular foods. Many people who find doing Atkins easy most of the day continue to regard breakfast as a challenge. If you just can't face eggs every morning, there are many other high-protein choices. Consider these for starters. Old-fashioned oatmeal served with nuts and heavy cream, or butter and sugar-free pancake syrup. A smoothie made with fruit and tofu or unsweetened soy milk. Nuts, seeds, and unsweetened coconut flakes sprinkled over whole milk yogurt, cottage cheese, or ricotta. Smoked salmon wrapped around cream cheese. If you're just not hungry first thing in the morning, then have a low-carb snack such as some cheese and fruit. Then a couple of hours later, have another small breakfast, such as low-carb toast with cream cheese and preserves without added sugar. If you just plain miss your old sweet comfort foods like Rice Krispies and cinnamon buns, there are numerous products manufactured specifically for people who are following controlled carb regimens, from muffins to breakfast cereals. If you find you don't have time to eat breakfast before leaving the house, either use the low-carb products we just mentioned, or make breakfast foods over the weekend and freeze them. Pancakes and muffins are 2 breakfast favorites that freeze well. If you love dining out, adopt a few easy strategies to block temptations before they appear. Don't skip a meal before eating out or arrive starving. Instead, snack on a hard-boiled egg or a few slices of cheese before you go out. If all else fails, ask for some olives, crudités, or steamed veggies to nibble on before your main course arrives. Do drink a couple of glasses of water with your meal to help fill you up. Feel free to enjoy a glass of dry wine with your meal occasionally. Many restaurants feature their menus online. Try to visit their websites to review the offerings and map out your dining plan ahead of time. Ask to have your dishes served without the extras of rice, beans, potatoes, or pasta. Ask for more vegetables instead. Ask for sauces on the side so you can decide how much to consume. Remember, soup is a great appetite squelcher. Decide before dinner whether or not you will order dessert. If not, fill up on everything else so that you are pleasantly full by the end of the meal and able to resist temptation, particularly if your dining companions are indulging. If you do plan to order dessert, make a point of skipping the bread, rice, or pasta. Even so, your best dessert choice is always melon or berries with whipped cream. Or make a low-carb dessert and plan on having it when you get home. Don't feel you have to finish something. Ask for a doggy bag and enjoy the rest for lunch the next day. Now that you are doing Atkins for Life, dinner parties should be reasonably easy to handle. If the meal is served buffet style, just load up on protein dishes and vegetables. Select small portions of starches if you can handle them. When you do not have much choice about what is served, you can certainly politely ask for a small serving of rice or potatoes, or even none at all. Nor is it a faux pas to pass on dessert. Many people do not eat dessert. When you are the host or hostess, whether or not you serve foods you are not going to eat is up to you. If you are completely in control and love to feed others, you may want to make some special high-carb dishes and pass on them yourself, or have just a small bite. But if making those dishes for guests is really just an excuse for you to indulge, you might be wise to confine your menu to dishes you can eat. It's easier to maintain your eating plan when you're close to home. But when you travel, you'll have to confront the fast and convenient carb-laden foods offered all along our culture's transportation pathways. Let us help you form a plan of attack to carry with you when you go. Truck stops, diners, and rest areas bring to mind burgers, colas, and french fries. You can also often find entire emporia of fast food, selling frozen yogurt, hot pretzels, pizza, and pasta. Take the roadside food court one step further, and you've got the airport's supersize food court. Concessions there might sell Asian noodles, footlong subs, and popcorn in a dozen flavors, to say nothing of those fragrant cinnamon buns dripping with sugary frosting. And then there's the food you get on the airplane. It's bound to be a disappointment, especially in terms of carb counts. But when you're strapped into a seat at 30,000 feet, it can be hard to resist even the most tasteless offerings. The obvious solution is to pack your own food. People who get into the habit of doing this find that it can make traveling much easier. You don't have to wait in lines, you don't have to pay exorbitant prices for terrible food, you don't retain water from eating over-salted foods, and you don't get indigestion. Try individually wrapped string cheese and rolled up deli meats or chunks of chicken or beef. Snap-top cans of tuna or chicken are good picks too. Other good ideas are berries, nuts, seeds, a small apple, and a plastic cup of salad, hard-boiled eggs, and olives. Carry a few low-carb protein bars in your bag or jacket pocket for emergencies. When you're stuck without provisions, there are ways to eat at junk food joints without letting your nutritional house collapse. First, limit your intake of hot dogs, bologna, salami, and other meat products that are preserved with nitrates. Burgers and sandwiches are a good bet as long as you toss the white flour bun and avoid sugary sauces such as barbecue or sweet and sour. Mayo and mustard are okay. Avoid anything labeled low-fat. Anything advertised as low-fat usually translates to high-carb. Search for salad. Almost every fast food place, from the big chains to the little one-man carts, carry salads, often with grilled chicken on top. If you asked someone to name the most common eating danger zones, they'd probably cite restaurants, movie theaters, and parties. But probably the number one danger zone is the workplace. The nature of office work is to sit perfectly still in front of a computer, a desk, and a phone. The better worker you are, the more time you spend sitting still. When you do get up, however, you're often looking for a quick stress reliever or energy. Even if you're just on your way to the copy machine or the restroom, you may find yourself walking by a candy dish, a platter of brownies brought in for someone's birthday, bagels from a morning meeting. And that's before you get to the vending machine full of candy and chips. How can you possibly stick to your controlled carb program and still survive at work? The answer is the same as it is with other challenges: a little ingenuity and some advanced planning. To avoid being tempted at break time, eat a good controlled-carb breakfast before you go to work. Also, make sure you have your own low-carb snacks handy so that you have an alternative if and when you need a snack. Most employee cafeterias offer a good selection of healthy food these days. Scrutinize the hot entrees, the salad bar, and the grill section for Atkins-friendly choices. Ask to substitute extra veggies for high-carb sides. Or bring your own meals. Tuna, chicken, or egg salads can be combined with a container of salad greens. Baked chicken legs, slices of roast beef, cheese, and steamed shrimp are also highly portable. Carbs consumed when working overtime may be the hardest of all to avoid, especially if you weren't able to plan ahead by packing dinner or an extra snack. Create an emergency stash of low-carb snacks. When your coworkers are sending out for dinnertime food, make the best choice you can from the available menu. If it's the ubiquitous pizza, use a fork and eat the toppings off, but leave the crust. Just as you may have to force yourself to exercise, you will sometimes have to simply give yourself a firm no. To keep your reserve of self-control strong and available whenever you need it, it must be rooted in the idea of keeping your eye on the prize. What is that prize? Staying slim, feeling good, living a longer and healthier life. If you start slipping and go back to your old way of eating and behaving, this is the prize you're giving up. Is any food worth that? It's one thing when you're alone in a grocery store or at home, making decisions for yourself about what to cook and eat. But it can be a very different thing when you're with friends or family members who at best don't understand your lifestyle or at worst disagree with it and harangue you about it. Either way, you can bring them around. Denise Lopez, who lost 139 pounds on Atkins, comes from a family whose traditions make it challenging to control her carbs. Her story is typical of people of many cultures in which food plays a multi-layered role. "Everything in my family and in our Hispanic culture revolves around food," says Denise. "Celebrations, accomplishments, awards, sad occasions, even death is surrounded by food. When we were kids, if we did well on our report cards, food. If we received an award at school, food. When Aunt Fela died, food." The first few holidays after Denise and Luis, her husband, started doing Atkins were tough. "Thanksgiving dinner that first year was different, to say the least. My mother-in-law is a terrific cook, so to pass up dressing and potatoes and all that is an insult to her. Then came Christmas. Not being able to eat a single thing that was offered was a problem. But we managed, and as soon as the pounds started melting off, our family became more accepting. Now, 5 years later, it's easy." Denise's story is an example of one reason some people resist Atkins. When one family member chooses to stop eating dishes that are steeped in family history and tradition, it can feel like a personal affront, especially to the person who did all the cooking. But just as Denise's story represents a common problem, it also illustrates the most effective solution. When her family members saw that Denise's new lifestyle resulted in a slimmer, healthier, and happier person, they did an about-face and became her greatest supporters. Now that you are slim and healthy, why would you want to be anything else? But what our conscious minds believe and what goes on in our subconscious is not always the same. To see whether you might be undermining your chances of permanent weight control, respond to each question with a yes or no. Do you attach too much value to food, using it as a reward when you've done well or a salve when you're suffering? Do you ever tell yourself that you're over the hill and staying slim and attractive is a losing battle, so why bother? Does the thought of suddenly having a more sexually appealing body make you just a little bit afraid? Do you ever feel guilty because you've left behind a dear friend or relative who still struggles with a weight problem? Is there one situation, party, or event in which you always succumb to your old eating habits? Do you expect other unrelated problems to go away once you're at your goal weight? Do you have trouble getting others to respect your way of eating? Do you measure your own worth by how thin you are? Do you feel that you don't really deserve to have all the things you have wanted? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, you may have some hidden psychological issues that could sandbag your weight maintenance efforts. To address these issues, you may find it helpful to get these thoughts and feelings out of hiding. Write them down in a journal and talk about them with someone you trust, whether a friend or a therapist. When low fat didn't help, Brendan Adams solved his health problems and slimmed down by following Atkins.
My ordeal began one summer morning 4 years ago when I wound up in the emergency room. I had gained 30 pounds in just 4 months and was retaining a lot of water. My blood pressure was 206 over 170. My hands and arms were numb, and I was having difficulty breathing. Fortunately, a wise emergency room doctor didn't believe that a 34-year-old was having a heart attack. She realized something else was causing the problem. After reviewing my symptoms in depth, she concluded that I suffered from hypothyroidism, or a sluggish thyroid. On her advice, I began seeing an internist for treatment. Although the thyroid condition stabilized over a 6-month period, I could not seem to lose weight. My cholesterol skyrocketed, and my liver and kidney functions also registered abnormal. To treat these problems, my physician started me on a regimen of up to 17 medications a day. He also put me on a low-protein, high-carbohydrate diet that shunned red meat and eggs. Most of my meals consisted of lettuce, minus dressing, and a variety of other vegetables. Although I was supposedly doing everything right, my health was not improving. In addition, my blood sugar was unstable, I was experiencing severe headaches, and I had put on another 20 pounds. After months of tests, my internist advised me that I should probably get used to being overweight and taking a lot of medications. 2 years after my trip to the emergency room, in October 1999, I saw a television report on Atkins. I purchased a copy of Dr. Atkins' New Diet Revolution, and after reading it from cover to cover, chose to change my eating habits. Within just a few short days of starting induction, my energy level increased, and I was enjoying foods that not only tasted good, but also filled me up. After 2.5 weeks, I had lost nearly 15 pounds. This was great, but I had a blood test because I was concerned about my cholesterol and triglyceride levels. My total cholesterol levels had decreased from 520 to 200. My LDL went from 225 to 125, and my triglycerides dropped from 740 to 193. Moreover, my blood sugar level registered normal. My internist called to give me the good news and asked if I was doing anything differently. When I explained that I was doing Atkins, he said that he would not continue to be my physician if I stayed on the program. So, I terminated my relationship with him. My new doctor was open to hearing more about Atkins and suggested that for the time being, I stay on the program. He did, however, recommend that I have blood tests done every 6 weeks. My next results showed that my total cholesterol had decreased to 173, my LDL to 110, and my triglycerides to 119. After about 8 weeks on Atkins, I had lost 40 pounds. 6 weeks later, my test results were even better. Cycling through the 4 phases of Atkins, I found that I felt better when I chose to maintain my intake at approximately 50 net carb grams per day. Because I was feeling so good, I decided to take up running. I hadn't been much of a runner before, but I wanted to choose a form of exercise that I could do on my own. Imagine my surprise when I could run 3 or 4 miles without knee and back pain. My business partner, who is a serious runner, encouraged me to join him in a marathon to benefit the Leukemia Society of America. Had anyone suggested I run a marathon a year earlier, I would have laughed. In those days, I couldn't even have run a mile. Not only did I complete the marathon, I finished 1,573 out of the 22,000 runners who completed the course. Interestingly, I did not carb up, like most runners tell you to do. Today, I weigh 146 pounds, and my blood work continues to be excellent. I only take one medication to control my thyroid, and my headaches are practically gone. People who diet are usually not successful long-term. Following Atkins requires a complete lifestyle change. I made a decision to have a different life. It's now been more than 3 years since I started the program, and I like myself a lot more today than I used to. Both my energy level and my outlook are much improved, not just because I'm thinner, but because I'm healthier. My ACE is 50. Age 38, height 5 feet 8.5 inches, weight before 206 pounds, weight after 146 pounds, weight loss 60 pounds. LDL before, 225. LDL after, 86. Triglycerides before, 740. Triglycerides after, 60. Total cholesterol before, 520. Total cholesterol after, 147.
Listen to Brendan's tips for success. Regard your dietary change as a lifestyle decision, not just a diet. It's easier to stay on track if the whole family eats the same way. Design meals around protein-based main courses such as Cornish game hens or shrimp parmesan, then add vegetables. The rest of the family can then also have rice, pasta or potatoes, and fruit for dessert. Getting older needn't translate into diminished energy, loss of muscle tone, and a catalog of ills such as heart disease, hypertension, and blood sugar imbalances. We have all met older individuals who enjoy active, healthy lives. How can you increase your chances of having your golden years be numerous? Along with having a positive attitude, seeing change as an opportunity, and remaining mentally challenged, the answer is the very same advice that we've given earlier. Namely, control your carb intake and select a broad range of nutrient-rich foods. Stay physically active, take nutritional supplements, and take a proactive approach to your health care. Doing Atkins is for life, but your ACE may be subject to change over your lifetime. No matter how careful you are about your diet, fitness program, and overall approach to wellness, you can be certain of one thing. You will age. What can you do about it? First of all, be in the best shape you can be so that you can fight the aging process. Secondly, understand that you may have to make some changes. As we age, our metabolism slows down, which makes it harder to maintain a constant weight. You have two options. The first is to up your energy output. It is never too late to start a fitness program, but if you are already a regular exerciser, you should be able to increase your activity level without injury. The second approach is to lower your carbohydrate intake. If you are happily maintaining your goal weight on 80 grams of net carbs a day, you may need to scale back to 70 grams. Your new ACE is where you can easily maintain your weight. This is not to say that we recommend eating fewer carbs as an antidote to being inactive. Most people find that a combination of exercise and dropping their ACE works best. If you begin to slowly put on weight despite adhering to your ACE and maintaining your fitness regimen, one possibility is that your thyroid function is slowed down. Ask your doctor to do a TSH or thyroid stimulating hormone test to ascertain whether you are producing a lot of that hormone. If the results are high, it means your body is working hard to overcome a depressed thyroid. Sometimes an individual has had his weight under control for years, then suddenly, without any apparent change in routine, the pounds pile on. The cause is often a side effect of a new prescription drug. Many pharmaceuticals make it harder to control your weight, although this is not necessarily indicated on the information sheet. If your doctor suggests that you start taking a new drug, ask the following questions. Is there a lifestyle change I can make instead? Is there a natural alternative in the form of a dietary supplement that I can take instead? Will this drug make it harder to control my weight? And if so, is there another drug I can take that will not have this effect? How long will I have to stay on this drug? If you must take this drug and it does have a weight gain effect, you might have to increase your activity level and/or decrease your ACE to maintain your weight. From a weight viewpoint, being female poses special challenges at several phases of your life. Hormonal fluctuations may contribute to weight gain or water retention. Likewise, taking hormones during perimenopause and menopause can cause a slow and insidious weight gain over time. If taking estrogen causes you to gain weight, discuss alternatives with your doctor. Men are not immune from hormonal changes. As they age, men produce less testosterone, the primary male hormone, so the effects of estrogen are not suppressed as they are when there is sufficient testosterone. The result can be difficulty in maintaining weight. Many people who have struggled with their weight over the years cite a particularly stressful situation as the trigger that signaled the start of their difficulties. It can also be the occasion for backsliding. Some people fall off the wagon in response to a divorce, loss of a job, or the death of a spouse. If something happens that pushes your stress buttons and points you in the direction of the refrigerator, you need to be immediately aware of your backsliding. Awareness is the first step to avoiding a spiral into behavior that in turn triggers self-reproach and more binging. If you have an ongoing or even an occasional history of going off the program when you encounter a stressful situation, you need to get a handle on the time, the circumstances, and the food that have been your undoing in the past. Otherwise, your behavior could lead to a pattern of yo-yo dieting. So long as you take control of your carb intake immediately, you should be able to lose the few pounds you may have piled on, which will make you start feeling better. Meanwhile, give some thought to why you went off the wagon and how to avoid doing so again in the future. Here are 10 fast rules for a lifetime of health. 1. Count your net carbs. 2. Stay at or below your ACE. 3. Adjust your ACE as needed. 4. Eat primarily whole, unprocessed foods. 5. Stay away from sugar, white flour, and other junk foods. 6. Don't go more than 4 to 6 waking hours without a meal or snack. 7. Exercise regularly. 8. Supplement with vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids. 9. Drink a minimum of 8 8-ounce glasses of water. 10. Never let yourself gain more than 5 pounds. As part of your overall commitment to good health, you should have an annual physical exam. If you have lost weight by doing Atkins and you're feeling more energetic and positive, your doctor is probably willing to acknowledge that you have improved your health. If you are just starting to do Atkins for health reasons, you definitely should discuss your decision with him or her. Also, be sure to get baseline blood tests done. When you go in for another checkup, say in 3 months, your doctor will likely see that you've improved your blood lipids and blood sugar levels and brought your blood pressure down. Although some doctors still have a knee-jerk anti-Atkins reaction, many others have come to understand that controlling carbohydrate intake is a key component of good health, and they will support your decision once they understand what lifetime maintenance entails. Explain that lifetime maintenance is not eating about 20 grams of net carbs a day. Rather, it is about finding your individual tolerance for carbs so you can maintain your goal weight for life. It does not mean eating only steak, bacon, and eggs and eliminating all vegetables and fruit. It is about eating a wide variety of foods, including plenty of nutrient-rich carbohydrates. What it does cut out are foods full of white flour, sugar, and other empty carbohydrates. If your physician is still bothered by the myths he or she has heard about Atkins, here's how you can respond. Myth 1. Lipolysis ketosis is dangerous. Many doctors believe this, but it's not true. What is dangerous is a life-threatening condition known as ketoacidosis, which affects insulin-dependent diabetics or alcoholics. The two terms sound similar, but that's the only connection. Ketosis is simply a shorthand way to say your body is burning stored fat instead of glucose as its primary fuel. This desirable and perfectly natural process happens in the induction phase of Atkins. Now that you are in lifetime maintenance, you burn both fat and carbs for energy, so you are no longer in lipolysis ketosis. Myth 2. Eating so much protein leaches calcium from your bones. It is true that your body will excrete more calcium in the urine than usual when you are in the induction phase of Atkins, but studies that looked for bone loss found none. After the first week on induction, calcium excretion returns to normal with no long-term effects. And recent research with older adults has shown that eating a high-protein diet actually strengthens your bones if you also take a calcium supplement, as the Atkins program recommends. Myth 3. Doing Atkins will raise your cholesterol. Just the opposite is true. Almost every Atkins follower sees a drop in LDL, or bad cholesterol, and a rise in HDL, or good cholesterol, along with a sharp drop in triglycerides, a type of blood fat that is an important indicator of heart health. If your blood lipid tests show this, the question should never arise. Myth 4. The amount of protein in the Atkins approach is bad for your kidneys. This may be the biggest myth of all, because there is absolutely no evidence for it. Not one single study shows that a high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet damages normal kidneys. There are studies that show that too much protein in concert with too much carbohydrate can be problematic, but you are not consuming excessive carbs when you are doing any phase of Atkins. If you already have severe kidney disease, of course, you must take the advice of your physician. But kidney disease cannot be caused by eating protein. Myth 5. No one knows the long-term results of eating the low-carb way. How could it be unhealthy to eat whole foods such as protein, healthy fats, a variety of vegetables, low-glycemic fruits, seeds and nuts, and modest amounts of legumes and whole grains? And how could it be unhealthy to feel better, be more active, and reduce your need for medicines? For studies whose findings can be applied to the four Atkins nutritional principles concerning weight loss, weight maintenance, good health, and disease prevention, your physician can go to Research Summaries in the Science Behind Atkins on www.atkinscenter.com. We hope that listening to the first half of this book has provided you with the knowledge and tools that you can use now and in the years to come to enrich your life with health and vitality. If you are like the other Atkins followers to whom we've introduced you, we trust that your feelings of empowerment about your weight and your health will spill over into other areas of your life and play a large role in determining a future full of possibility and success. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Atkins for Life by Robert C. Atkins, M.D., adapted for audio by Garrett Scott and produced by The Cutting Corporation. Copyright 2003 by Robert C. Atkins, M.D. Production copyright 2003 by Audio Renaissance, a division of Holtzbrinck Publishers, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.